Saúde boa, tchau.
Hello and welcome to the Tiger's Den. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Tiger's Den, the official LSU podcast of the Dome Patrol United network of podcasts. I'm your host, Scott. And what a disappointing loss to Auburn this past week. LSU falls 24-19. Left the whole game until the fourth quarter and just kind of blew it at the end. We'll get into it more. There's all kind of things to get into. I want to bring in my co-host Wes here because I don't even know. I'm so aggravated. I don't even know where to start with all this shit that we probably need to talk about. But Wes, how are you doing?
I'm good. This was a rough game. Watching the game, don't know if we should have lost. It seems like, not even saying hindsight's 20/20, there was lots of ways we could have won this game. But just during the game, there was a lot of different things that it seemed like we were doing that were counterintuitive to winning the game. I hate doing this, but I don't know if I can tell you that Auburn's a better team than LSU. LSU wasn't great, but there was a lot of ways. And I mean, there's six different plays in this game that happened a different way. LSU wins this game.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think Auburn is a better team than us.
That's not meaning we're good.
I don't think either one of them are good. Right. And, I think they're both pretty bad, but I think maybe we lost the game, so we must be worse. I don't know. I keep going back and forth on that. On paper, you look at it, we should have won the game. But there were so many decisions made during the game that really cost us the game. I guess let's start off with the good for a second. Max Johnson really, I think, played pretty well. He was 26-46, 325 yards, one touchdown, one interception. That first touchdown pass, if you remember, the one he kind of laid right into Bouti in between two defenders, was one of the prettiest passes and catches I've probably seen in a long time. I mean, it was beautiful. And at that point you're like, oh man, this kid's, got it. We're going to blow the doors off these guys. Cause we were just moving the ball up and down the field. We were playing with tempo. Everything was looking good. And it didn't last long, but that first touchdown pass was beautiful to Bouti.
Yeah, I think this was definitely Max's best game of the season to me. Even where some of his other games where the stats looked good, I was still going the game like, I don't know if he's a great quarterback, but yet mature enough quarterback yet. But he had a great game. And then Bouti was awesome too, with eight catches for 127 yards. And then, I mean, Besh had 10 catches in this game.
Yeah, and so, Besh, there was a pass that Max threw to Besh that he missed, and Besh was wide open.
Yep.
And I think if I remember correctly, I want to say that Johnson was kind of running out of the pocket, kind of running for his life, and saw Besh open at the last minute and threw it, and just, threw it too high. Overall, the offense is just very frustrating. And there's a lot of reasons for that. One, What was this? Game four? Yep.
Five.
Game five.
Four, 3-2.
We still can't get fucking plays in.
It's insane.
Amazing to me.
You've got Max Johnson saying after the game,
yes,
it's hard for me to get into a rhythm because we come in with a play and we look over and then it takes a while for us to get the next. I mean, it's throwing off and it's, we've talked about it after every single game. We've talked about two things. Run the ball more.
That's another thing we're going to talk about in a minute.
Get the play in faster. And that is talked about everywhere, those two things. And we have made no improvements on running the ball more or on getting the play in faster.
None.
And like you said, we started off, I think Johnson started off 6 for 6 or 7 for 7.
Yes.
We were getting, like, we could tell we scripted our first 10 plays and then had no idea what to do after that. I mean, it was insane.
With, we blew at least 3 timeouts not being able to get the play in. At the eight minutes and 40 second mark in the second quarter, we had already burned through all of our timeouts for the first half. Yep. And they were all because of not being able to get the play in. We blew a timeout after a kickoff. How do you blow a timeout after a kickoff? Because you don't have the plays in. You've been sitting, your offense has been sitting on the sideline during the whole time Auburn had the ball. They kick off and we don't have a fucking play. And we have to call a timeout. That's that, and we were offsides on a freaking kickoff. Like, what is it? It's so dysfunctional at this point. It's just unbelievable how dysfunctional it is.
Yeah, I mean, and we're also talking about 2 years removed from what's, I mean, inarguable to me, but arguably the greatest season in the history of college football. And I don't know if we've seen looking ahead, if LSU even losing this game, but they lose their next game to a ranked opponent now and fall to 3-3, that'll be 8-8 over the last year and a half. And I don't know if we've seen a fall like that since like the old Nebraska and Miami stuff. And they got in a lot of trouble, both of them, for some, you know, having players suspended, and they were having lots of other problems too. I'm just not sure if we've seen is meteoric fall a thing?
Yeah.
This quick of a collapse of a program. And it's sad to watch.
You know, you look at, you know, they win that first national championship with Saban. There's a little fall off. Saban leaves to go Miami. Les Miles comes in. It takes a little while to get going.
I'm meaning without a coaching change.
Right. We get another national championship. Little fall off. O comes in, wins another national championship, and then it's just like straight to dumpster fire.
Yep.
And I mean, that's, if you look at, and look, I wasn't a Les Miles fan, but he got lucky, I think, more than often than not. But you never saw this. Never saw this, the complete collapse. We'll go to rushing the ball. In the fourth quarter, when we had the lead, we rushed the ball one time. One time in the fourth quarter with the lead. Auburn was rushing 3 and sometimes even 2 and dropping back 9 in the coverage. And we still didn't run the ball. Corey Kiner, who
averaging 4.5 yards a carry.
Yes.
Only gets 5 carries.
Best running back. 5 carries, 22 yards, 4.5 carries. How are you not giving him the ball? The average point of contact for this game for a running back was -0.6 yards. So it means they were behind the line of scrimmage before they were getting contacted every time. And he still got 22 yards and averaged 4.4 yards per carry. How do you not run the ball? They're rushing 2 people and dropping back 9. There's no way in hell. Fuck, Tom Brady couldn't complete a pass if they're dropping back 9 and rushing 2 people. No. It's so blatant and so just common sense. I don't get it. I just don't understand. And it goes back. It all goes back to Coach O. Now, listen. I think for the most part, it's pretty, unless something drastic happens, the handwriting's on the wall that Coach O will not be here next year. Scott Woodward, when he was at Washington, fired a coach. He let that coach play out the whole season and let him go. At A&M, he fired a coach. He let that coach play out the whole season and let him go. So I think they will let O coach out the season.
Yeah.
But I also think he's gone at the end. Now, a lot of people are speculating who's coming in. I'm not going to start speculating this stuff now. When he goes, or if and when he goes, there will be plenty of time to speculate on who the next coach might be. But unless there is a drastic change, and by drastic, I mean, we have a whole, the 2019 football team decides to come back, he's going to be gone.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to at this point, just the ineptitude.
Now, we've had lots of excuses, I think, for injuries and people out for last year and this year, whether it's, you know, the starting quarterback or all the people that walked off last year and sat out, and then Stingley missing and all. But this game, there have been the UCLA game and this game, with the talent we had on the field, we made a lot of mistakes, but still could have won both of those games. I mean, there are a couple of plays. I'm not saying this is a good team, but there's just a couple of plays that this is a 5-0 team. And I think that that's what makes LSU is always going to have great talent on the field and better talent than most of the people they play. But this seems like there are some definite organization and coaching issues. And I don't know. I mean, there's still a lot of the season left, and we have only lost two games. I mean, you think if we can rebound in other games and maybe only throw in the Alabama loss,
you'd have to win every other game. And just,
yeah, no, I mean, I really think so.
To keep his job. And you know, you can be, to your point, you can be missing players, but missing players doesn't cause you to not be able to get plays in on time. Missing players doesn't cause you not to run the ball. Missing players doesn't cause Booty, your best wide receiver, had one catch in the second half. One catch in the second half. So you're not running the ball, and you're not throwing it to your best wide receiver. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, and Booty had a good first half, had five catches in the first half, and you can't tell me that he wasn't open.
My God, he was open. He finished with six receptions, 127 yards. Like you said, five of those receptions were in the first half.
I'm also just not going to completely not give him some credit. I think that, and I don't watch a lot of Bo Nix football, but he played what probably is the best game of his life.
Oh, absolutely.
And I just, not only the best game of his life, but we had no sacks on him. The job he did avoiding the sack and then being creative and then finding a way to get the ball downfield to a receiver, impressive. And again, I think there's four plays that they go the opposite way in the entire game. And I'm just talking about on us when we almost sacked him. And I'm not meaning like, oh, put some pressure on him. People had him in their arms.
Yes. Were
grabbing him, swiping at the ball.
So I
want to give him a little credit.
Oh, absolutely. One of the things I wrote down was in my notes from the game was defense looks very poor tackling. And I don't know if it was, I mean, a lot of it was Bo Nix just getting out of it, which credit to him. But there was a lot of times too where running backs or wide receivers were getting the ball and we were just like, just not tackling well at all.
There was some bad tackling for sure. And we've had bad tackling at times this year. This was really bad tackling.
And like you said, to Bo Nix's credit, I mean, he was like freaking Houdini. I mean, he was doing some Johnny Manziel shit. You'll probably never see another game like that out of Bo Nix for the rest of his career.
I mean, again, most people thought that Bo Nix was possibly done at Auburn
before
this game. I mean,
he played so bad last week. They pulled him out of the game.
Played so bad against Georgia State that, I mean, they thought he was done and that he was never going to play again. Then he had, I mean, honestly, the probably one best game of his career.
Yeah, and I mean, Finley did end up coming in, I think, for one series in the third quarter. It seemed like it was almost maybe scripted or planned for him to do that just because Bo was playing really well. There was no real reason to take him out the game other than maybe the coach said, hey, let's give Finley a series and see what he does. You know, it just seemed pre-planned.
Yeah.
Hats off to Auburn. They won the game. You know, they came back. And I mean, when you've got a lead in the fourth quarter, you've got to hold it. It makes me feel like I'm having this repeat conversation that we had on the Dome Patrol show the other day about the Saints. You know, it was like they're mirror images of each other where they both have fourth quarter leads and both blew it. So needless to say, it wasn't a good weekend for Louisiana in general, if you're an LSU and a Saints fan.
Yeah, you've got, multiple things. We've got probably three or four sacks on Nix that changed this game. You've got you know, the Besh is wide open for a game-winning touchdown that, like you said, Max didn't complete that pass. And then first drive of the second half, was it Thomas that dropped the ball that would have been a touchdown as well?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a bunch of things that go different in this game. But I just I don't know. I think there's a lot of different – I mean, again, we say this 2 weeks ago, though Stingley in this game, it's a different game too.
Yeah.
But and I do think that with all those things that went wrong, LSU still should have won this game at home with just some, honestly, some proper play calls and decisions on the offensive side, even in the last half of the fourth quarter. But I mean, you get down to the fourth quarter, this is a, it seems like there's a few easy decisions to make.
Yeah. It was just a very frustrating game offensively. It was frustrating defensively because Bo Nix kept escaping and not just escaping, but keeping his head up and completing passes downfield. You can only expect your DBs to cover for so long. You know, they can't, they can't. And you brought up Stingley. We'll get into that. So Stingley had surgery on his foot and is out indefinitely. There's no timetable for him to return. I think it's pretty safe to say, I'd say 99 or 98% safe to say that that he's played his last game in a LSU uniform. The way the team's playing, there's really no need for him to come back. He might as well just start preparing for the draft.
He's a top five draft pick if he walks away right now and never puts on the jersey again. There's no reason for him to do it.
Yeah, and, you know, you hate to see him injured, but you definitely wish him well in the pros. He's going to be a fantastic player for whoever he gets. We know it won't be the Saints because they don't draft LSU players. They only draft Ohio State players. But whatever team he goes to, he's just going to be amazing. He's, you know, the next in a long line of the, you know, the CBU that LSU has developed. One thing I wanted to bring up about the running game, and this just isn't for this game, but it's season wide. Out of 130 FBS teams, LSU is ranked number 128 in rushing. Only Bowling Green and Mississippi State are worse at rushing than LSU is this season. As much as we've in the past had such great running backs, I think we have great running backs.
Yeah, it seems that we have four running backs right now that were top two or three or four in the country coming out of high school.
The problem is the offensive line. The offensive line has been totally just neglected by, I don't know if it's by recruiting, if it's by development. You know, you have some good offensive linemen that are expected to come in the next couple of years, but the offensive line is the problem. You can't put this game on Max. You really can't. You can maybe a little bit on the defense for not tackling well. This loss is on the coaches. It's on O. It's on Pete's. It's, you know, defensively, Durante has done a great job, I think, with his defense over last year. Like, it is light years better than what it was. If you remember last year when, like, people on the offense would go in motion, our defense looked like you just gave them some kind of algebra equation to solve. Like, they had no freaking clue what's going on. Now people go in motion, they're checking off, they're knowing where they're going. There doesn't seem to be a lot of confusion. Like, Durante Jones has done a fabulous job getting this defense going. If we bring in a new coach, I don't know if he survives, but he definitely has, I think, has earned a chance to possibly stay on as a defensive coordinator if for some reason, you know, we depart with Coach O.
Yeah, I think he's done good with what he's been given and how quickly we changed from, I mean, there was some problems in the UCLA game that I think were on him, but he's done a good job rebounding since then. My only retort is I think that if LSU makes the proper coaching hire, if OU leaves and makes the proper coaching hire, which needs to be a big time hire, that person's going to bring in their own people. I just don't see,
I usually think that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, so that would be the only thing is that I think that they're going to make sure the way that they save their job and extend themselves a few years is to wipe the entire slate clean. And
you know, I kind of talked about at the beginning where O might be gone and the coaches, you know, there'll be a coaching decision that needs to be made. And I said I didn't want to really go into it. I actually do want to go into it, like, really badly, but I know there's going to be time later to do that. Is it something that you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about any names that were thrown? And I guess I should have asked you that before I just said we're not going to talk about it. I would love to talk about it. Like, I could sit here for hours and talk about it, but
I would just say there's way too much to happen. Not only with, I mean, we talk about how much needs to happen with LSU the rest of the season, but there's going to be a lot of things that would need to happen with other programs. Because here's the deal. This is not the job. If we're hiring for it this offseason, this isn't the job that all but three coaches in the league like will quit their job for right now. It used to be.
I think it still could be. Like, you know, I think if first of all,
think,
money.
Do you think Money Herman talks. Wishes he could go back and redo things and not be at UT right now?
Oh yeah, he wishes he was here.
Yeah, I no,
bet money
for sure.
Wishes he was here. I think that I don't remember if we've talked about this. I know I've said it.
Does
many
Joe
times.
Brady have a job right now? What is he
Joe
doing?
Brady, I don't want
Can
Joe Brady.
Can he be a head? I'm just kidding.
I do not want Joe Brady. I don't want anybody who's not been a head coach already or not been a coordinator in the pros for a very long time.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like
I'd take Bieniemy maybe from Kansas City.
Yeah, he's good at covering up allegations.
Well, whatever. Yeah, he is, I guess. But he's a good offensive coordinator. From an offensive coordinator's perspective, he's a good offensive coordinator. So let me throw out a couple names, and you say yes or no. Would you take them and why? And these are the names that have been floating around. And one name that hasn't been floating around that I'm going to throw in that I would like. So one name floating around, Urban Meyer.
No.
Okay.
Couldn't. Even before this, these mistakes of the last week, I just don't think you can trust him to stay with your program and be dedicated to it. And then also just not, you know, get drunk. And,
okay.
I mean, we've had coaches sleep with our students. We don't need that.
No, we don't. Lane Kiffin.
I would definitely, consider it. I don't know. I think if he was with somebody outside of the SEC, we'd have a better shot at him.
Let's just say they're going to come if we ask. So yeah. Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
Would you take Saban back?
Well, yeah, but that's not there. There's no chance of that.
I know. I'm just.
But yes. I mean, that's the automatic Mount Rushmore.
I mean, that's the first call I'm making. Like, if I'm Scott Woodward, I've already made the call to Saban.
Make him hang up on you.
Yes. Like, yeah. Make him say no. Because he didn't, you know, he's said that he's regretted leaving LSU. Now, this name I haven't heard, probably should hear, and it's somebody who I would want, but Dave Aranda.
Yeah. I could see that. And what I would like about that is, so Coach O is a defensive, quote unquote, coach, but I think he's a defensive position coach. I don't know if I consider O to be my defensive coordinator, where Aranda is. I think he has a better view of that. And I think Aranda get us back to running in defense, which
I would love Aranda. I think Aranda was going to be the heir apparent after O. But him and O just didn't see eye to eye on things. And so he left and, you know, he got the opportunity at Baylor. And I think he's done well with Baylor. But I would take him. I would take Aranda for sure. Is there any other names that you heard that you want to throw out?
I wouldn't say I've heard this name, but what would you say to Bob Stoops?
No.
You wouldn't try to bring him back?
No.
I mean, no. He was coaching in the XFL.
But he can't win he just seems to can't win the big game.
I just care if he can win the regular season games right now.
Yeah.
I mean,
but I mean, the ultimate goal is championships, right? So
for sure.
I wouldn't want him. I would be okay with Kiffin. I would be okay with, obviously, with Saban, and I'd be okay with Aranda. Now, look, these are names that I just thrown out in recent time, you know, recent murmurs. Could be another name out there that we don't know about. I do not want Jimbo Fisher. Let me make that clear as well.
Steve Sarkisian.
Doesn't he have issues?
Yeah, no, he's loaded. I mean, he's Urban Meyer issues.
Yeah. I don't, and coming off this Title IX stuff, like, I really don't see them hiring anyone who has problems with women at this point.
I'll just say, so, and I'll say this, Bieniemy's the perfect guy, but I hate Bieniemy. Like, it's a tough guy for me to want to.
Why do you hate Bieniemy?
I don't know. I don't know. It just think that it seemed like the attitude that he had for all those years and then made a lot of mistakes and didn't admit to him for a long time. And then it seems like even now, like, he's more like, oh, well, that's just my past. Hadn't really owned up to it. And I'm not sure if that's the right thing for LSU right now. LSU is trying to come out of what could have been a pretty dark situation with the suspensions and lawsuits and all that. It seems like we're pretty much coming out kind of unscathed so far, that I don't know if bringing somebody in that past is a great idea. Having said that, I think he's a great coach. I think he didn't like the idea of him going to USC because I think he'd be really good there. The guy kind of rumored a few months ago.
Yeah,
I think that he would do really well here. And I mean, and the other side, I think that college players would listen to him and do well with him. And the resume he has over the last few years would have some damn good respect with recruiting and with motivating players.
Yeah, I agree. And he's got a Super Bowl ring. You know, he's got the lineage of, you know, knowing what it takes to get there, to get to the next level. And I think that's a big thing too. All right, we're going to move on from the coaching stuff, and we are going to go around the SEC. All right, first game, Alabama Crimson Tide, number one team in the country, defeated Ole Miss 42-21. I mean, you know, there's a lot about Lane Kiffin at the beginning of the game saying, get your popcorn ready and all this crap. And he basically, you know, they went out and got killed. So, you know, whatever, that's Lane Kiffin. He's always going to kind of pop off a little bit. I don't think it really exposed, you know, Ole Miss as any kind of fraud team. I just think it showed how good Alabama really is. And that kind of leads to the next game. Georgia defeated Arkansas 37-0. Kind of the same thing. You know, I think Arkansas is a good team. I just think Georgia is that much better than everybody else. It's like Bama and Georgia, and then the rest of the country is what it is.
I think Georgia is the best team in the country, and I think Alabama's gonna have some real problems with them.
Yeah, it's definitely.
Having said that, they're probably gonna have to play twice, and I have no idea what happens when they play a second time.
It'll be interesting because you give Saban, you know, two cracks at you, and that's, you know, just a recipe for losing. Mississippi State upset Texas A&M 26-22. That was kind of a big, kind of surprising upset. Did you get to see any of that game?
I did not. Man, it's like the entire SEC is 3-2 right now. I mean, obviously, yeah, there's teams that aren't, but this is so weird. And there's so much cream rising to the top in the SEC. There's a couple of teams that are scary, and then everybody else is, it's going to be weird at the end of the season.
Yeah, Will Rogers for Mississippi State, 408 yards, 3 touchdowns. Their running back was over 100 yards. Wide receiver, Mekhi Polk, 13 receptions, 126 yards, 2 touchdowns. That was a pretty decent game. Tennessee defeated Missouri 62-24. I don't think there's really that much of a surprise or intrigue in that one. You pretty much knew Missouri is just garbage. South Carolina defeated Troy 23-14. Again, Troy, you know, kind of a lesser team. Not really a surprise that South Carolina beat them. Vanderbilt wins 30-28 over UConn. I was surprised that game was that close. UConn's
UConn hasn't won a football game at all.
Yeah. So I was kind of surprised that it was that close. The final SEC game, Kentucky upsets Florida 20-13. Wow, that was a pretty big shock, I think, for everybody.
Yeah, that's I don't know who saw that one coming, and just watching that the whole way through, but the kind of stats were in the scores. I mean, Kentucky, I think their quarterback was 7 for 17, and he didn't throw for 100 yards. I mean, it's just definitely a weird game.
Yes. Which will bring us to, that's the last game, which brings us to the game preview for LSU this upcoming week. LSU faces number 16, Kentucky. Kentucky is 5-0, hasn't lost a game, 3-0 in the SEC. LSU is 3-2, 1-1 in the SEC. You know, I said at the beginning of this season that I thought that this would be a trap game for LSU, because we are going to be playing Florida next week. But the way it sits now, it's not really a trap. It's more of a trap game, I think, for Kentucky, to be honest.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's going to be in our favor. I mean, and just talking about, I just referenced a little bit the quarterbacks for Kentucky against Florida were 7 for 17 for 87 yards. They ran the ball 30 times for 137 yards. Like, they barely had over 200 yards of offense. Obviously, they did some things on defense, but this is, again, I mean, this is a team that a bad LSU team can beat, and we shouldn't have a more motivated LSU team than what we could possibly have going into this. This is the penultimate game that, like, tells, can this season be saved and still look decent and get something besides the, you know, Everlast Battery Bowl? Or is this like, okay, if you lose this game, everybody on the team knows our coach is probably fired at the end of the year.
Right.
Like,
yeah. You lose.
Like, and everybody's got to have that in the back of their head. Like, yeah, Coach O's owning it and saying this is on me. But if we all screw this up, like, there's not much you can do for him.
Right. Not any talking. And LSU is kind of like, this year, they seem like the type of team that could beat anybody, but could lose to anybody. I mean, and it's just very strange kind of year. Like, we could go out and lose to Kentucky, but then the next week beat the shit out of Florida.
For sure.
You know, it's just a very strange year. And, you know, to your point, this is a very pivotal game. If we lose this game, and whatever players O hasn't lost, he's probably going to lose, at least mentally. You know, they're going to be kind of checking out. You've already lost Stingley. Coach announced that safety Major Burns is out this week. So that is another kind of blow to your defense. So, you know, if Kentucky's not throwing the ball a lot and they're running the ball more, that kind of plays, I guess, to our strengths a little bit. Our defense overall is pretty good, but definitely with Stingley out and Burns out, it's going to hopefully play to our strength that we can stop the run with our defensive line. Our offensive line, Kentucky seems like a pretty, you know, they held what, Florida 13 points. They have a pretty stout defense, I would assume. We need to run the ball. We need to run the ball. We need to run the ball. We need to give the ball to Corey Kiner and get the fuck out the way and run more to the outside. I think a caller calls in and asked Coach O, like, Why are we always running like up the middle? Why do we never run to the outside? Coach is like, yeah, you're right. It's like, if you know all this shit, why aren't you doing it in the game? Like, he's obviously not calling the plays, but you have to have a conversation with your offensive coordinator during the game and say, hey, we've only run the ball one time. You know, we need to run the ball more. Like, right. You're still the head coach. I know you want to be hands off and let your coordinator do his thing. But at the end of the day, you're his boss. He's going to listen to you, what you tell him to do. And you have to be able to recognize it in the game and not just be a cheerleader on the sideline.
Well, if you're going to take forever to get the plays in, they should be good plays once they get in.
Yes.
And we're talking about like this being like the game that shows like where the season can go. I mean, we're talking about, this is number 16, Kentucky. Next, we play number 20, Florida, mm-hmm. number 17, Ole Miss, number 1, Alabama, and mm-hmm. then number 13, Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Then you got UL Monroe and Texas A&M to end the season. this season gets really ugly really fast.
Yes.
If you're not winning this game.
I mean, you could very easily lose your next, what, four, and then play ULM, beat them, and play Texas
A&M. No, five. Arkansas five? Would be your fifth game in a row. That'd be five games in a row.
I mean, you could theoretically absolutely 100% lose five games in a row.
I mean, so.
I mean, Kentucky's, I guess, a toss-up. Florida, who knows? You know, that's kind of a toss-up. I think Florida probably has a better team than we do at this point. But
yeah, I think that anything outside of – every single team in the SEC besides Alabama and Georgia is extremely beatable to every other team in the SEC. Yeah. Just about. I mean, this is, I still think this is a season where, I mean, Kentucky, LSU could end up with a better record than Kentucky. Like, I realize Kentucky's 5-0, but let me tell you right now, Kentucky's not the number 16 team in the country.
No,
I refuse to believe that. Just like Arkansas is not number 13th team in the country.
I mean, I know they're 5-0. They've beaten ULM, Missouri, UTC, South Carolina, and Florida. So other than Florida, they really haven't played anybody.
And they were completely unranked until the Florida game, because the other four teams are all garbage.
Right. I mean, Missouri, they won 35-28, so that's a pretty close game. UTC.
They've won every game by one score except for the ULM and Rogan.
I mean, it's just they haven't played anybody. And then after us, they play Georgia. They'll lose. Mississippi State, who knows? Tennessee, they'll probably win. Vanderbilt, they'll probably win. God, they have a really fucking
easy schedule. They have the New Mexico State and then Louisville.
Then Louisville, good God. Like,
they
if they beat us, they could
if they beat us, Georgia's probably their only loss in the season. Yeah.
Good God.
I mean, and that happens, then you've got a pretty, like, average Kentucky team like goes into the playoffs as the number five team or number four.
Yeah. I mean, and they're going to get crushed.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
even Notre Dame could beat them in the playoffs.
Ooh, I don't know about that. That's I don't know about that. Maybe Oklahoma, but not Notre Dame. But yeah, so very pivotal game for LSU. You got to have a bounce back performance. Like, if you don't have a bounce back performance,
and I want to be clear to the people listening, like, I'm not saying that this is, I mean, these games aren't winnable. I really want to be clear. LSU can win all of those games except for the Alabama game. There's no chance of winning that game. We can win all these games. I just haven't seen anything this year so far that makes me think we're going to make the right coaching decisions and in-game moves to win those close games. I don't think any of those games are going to be a blowout either. I think they're all going to be very close games, and it's going to come down to a spectacular play by somebody that, you know, that I don't know if is on this team right now. Cause I mean, if Miles Brennan's the quarterback, I feel a lot better about those. Just making an exceptional play sometime.
And we didn't even talk about Miles Brennan. Like, what do you do with him? If let's say, I mean, I guess it's going to depend on how the season's going. If we win against Kentucky and for some reason beat Florida and he's ready to come in against Bama, do you play him? Do you sit him?
Yes. No. Because again,
and what if we don't win the next two games?
Don't care.
Bring him in.
Yeah, I think
so. Either way, you bring him in.
You've got to, more than just, we got to worry about, like, if Max Johnson's on this team next year and building him up. I don't think that there's ever a chance in college that you can mail in a season in order to let one player develop, because recruiting is so damn important. And I think that every single game, let me tell you right now, with recruiting, there's a big difference between 3-8 and 6-5.
Yeah,
I mean, there is. They both suck.
That's true.
But there's a huge difference.
That's true.
And you can say, and you can look back and say, look, we won the last three games of the year with the person that was supposed to be our starting quarterback. If he had been here all year, here's the kind of team we put on the field. Come here because, you know, without injuries, this is what the organization that you're buying into. Also, it says, we'll play the best player no matter what. That's one thing. I mean, the Saints have always done well about getting undrafted free agents, is they can say the best player plays no matter what.
And if you're you got to think, maybe this is a chance to save my job.
Maybe. I mean, because again, he's got to sit in that interview and say, look, if I had my starting quarterback, this is what we would have done.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you'd have to say. I mean, that'd be his only defense.
I think you got to win every game. You got to win. And then plus, we know how much there's a big difference between there's a bowl game that gets you $1 million, and there's a bowl game that gets you $8 million, and there's a bowl game that gets you $14 million.
Right.
it's a big difference between those bowls, and a couple of wins here and there make a big difference, especially in a SEC that every record is going to be the same. Like, somebody's going to be able to choose who they want in their bowl.
That's a good point. You wonder, would the offense run a little smoother with Miles Brennan, since he knows it better? Like, you won't have to do the check me's and stuff like that as much, where he can come up to the line and I don't know.
No, that's the thing. Because we did that crazy with Joe Burrow and with Brennan. We just got the plays in faster.
Quicker.
Yeah. I think that part is an offensive coordinator problem that should be able to be corrected almost immediately.
Well, that's why you don't hire somebody who's never been offensive coordinator. I
100% agree. Yeah, you don't. But I also do think that, I don't want to say that Brennan would be given any more decision-making in this offense, because Joe Burrow wasn't really given very much. Yeah. He was looking over there the whole time too. But I just think that his calm in the pocket, things to do. And listen, he's got more experience and he's a better quarterback right now today than Max Johnson.
Yep. Just no fishing trips for Miles Brennan between now and then. Do you have a score prediction for the Kentucky game?
Yeah, I'll say 28-27 Tigers.
Okay. And this is probably wishful thinking, I think we come out and blow the doors off Kentucky. I'm praying that's what happens. And I'm going to say 45-10. And that's more so me wishful thinking than anything else. You know, we talked, in our little text group about Coach O and stuff, and I'm a Coach O fan. I want him to win. Let me go back up. I'm an LSU fan. I want LSU to win. Whoever the coach is, I want LSU to win. I like Coach O. I think he's a good guy. I think he's made some bad decisions, but overall, I like the guy. And I would love for him to save his job if we can win another championship. I don't know at this point that we can win another championship with Coach O. And that was the problem I had with Les Miles. And, if you're not going to win, if you're not playing to win championships, then, there's no point. But anyway, any final thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, I'd say my score prediction is just more about that. I'm hoping the LSU wins and I want to make it a 1-point game. I agree with you. I don't see how Kentucky scores 27 on LSU. I don't think our defense is that bad no matter what. But I just, I don't know what I mean.
Yeah,
I can't predict 28-10 LSU. I just can't have the faith in it right now.
Yeah,
long season. This is a very winnable game that just has to be won.
Yes, I forgot to mention LSU kicks off at 6:30 on SEC Network, and then the Florida game was announced that they kick off at 11 a.m., which is gonna suck balls because that was the game I was going to go to tailgate. So I guess I'll be tailgating and eating breakfast. The only good thing is if we lose to Kentucky, maybe I can find some cheap tickets and get to go.
Right.
So, all right. Well, that is all the show we have for right now. We want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all your friends about the Don't Patrol United Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, which we do after every Saints game. The Don't Patrol podcast, the BSM Beer Saints podcast, where you can hear Wes, the Pelican Plunge, the Premier League podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, which just got published today, which is Thursday, and the Tiger's Den. Follow each show on Twitter at Don't Patrol PCast, at Don't Patrol UK, at BSM Beer Media, at Taking the Over, at Tiger_podcast, at Don't Patrol Prem. Follow us on Facebook and Twitch for live streams. You can follow us on Twitch at twitch.tv/Don't Patrol Podcast. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, you can always go to DontPatrolPodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, wildcat donkeys.
Good night, Tiger Nation.
Hey, fighting tigers, fight all the way. Hey, fighting tigers. The game today, you've got to know how you're doing fine. Hang on to the ball and you hit the wall and smack right through that line. You gotta go for the touchdown. the tiger stand right.